You are going to be very Ontarian by the end of the day. I want to talk about how we, as a practice, child and youth care, can integrate a rights-based foundation. And I think, as you've heard over the last little while, we are starting to really recognize that youth do play a role in what we do with them. So what I want to look at is how can we incorporate this into the foundation? How can it become one of our core skills rather than something we learn as we go through our practice? What I really want to do, and what I want to do with students, is challenge your status quo. Challenge the way that people think. And what I want to do is look at how do we integrate rights-based into the foundation of child and youth care. I want to examine children's rights within the advocacy framework, because if you're talking about rights, you're talking about advocacy, and how we can use the child and youth workers to amplify the voice of the children and youth they work with. And I want them to embrace the fact that youth have a rights and they have an ability to make claims. What happens is that when we have a youth that wants to make a claim that their rights have been broken, staff get angry. Although they legally know they're bound to let it happen in the province of Ontario, this has to happen, staff seem to take it personally. My hope is that if we embed this into a core skill, that people won't personalize it and take it farther. So the starting premise has to be that children and youth are active agents in their own lives and have a role to play in creating change. And it really means promoting a rights-based curriculum from the beginning of their education and building a foundation upon which they can speak about children and youth as rights holders. So starting from the very entry level that they see this. For many years, I think we really felt we knew what was right. We knew what was best. We knew what youth should do. I think we've really come a long way, and we need to embrace the fact that if we ask them, they're probably going to tell us what they need. So to do this, we need to have a really basic understanding of what our rights. I think we all have a different understanding of it. We have legal rights, and those are globally the laws that exist around the world, and those are primarily known as human rights. In 1990, Canada signed the United Nations Convention on the Rights of Children, and we adopted it in 1991, and it was really nice. I was speaking to Jennifer yesterday to hear that you're doing that in Scotland. It's interesting, if you were to ask most child and youth care practitioners, they probably wouldn't know when that happened, and they probably wouldn't know what it meant to their scope of practice. The other thing is, I think that a lot of frontline child and youth care practitioners really have a hard time figuring out what's a right and what's a desire. And there's a big difference. Rights are protected, they're enshrined in the laws, desires are something you work for. So in our residential care system, children have a right to a good meal. They have a right to three balanced meals, to snacks, to healthy food. They may have a desire to have ice cream. If we, as child and youth care practitioners, understand and accept the fact that there's a difference, then we can understand and accept and help the youth to see the difference and understand that their rights are being upheld, even though maybe their desires are different. If we divide rights into three categories, we can look at them as protection, and we all, I think there's nobody in this room that would disagree that every child has the right to live free of physical and emotional harm, free from sexual exploitation, and can be not forced to work before the age of 16. I don't think we have any problem with that. But there's also the provision for the right of adequate food, shelter, seasonal clothing, and those of us that live in Canada know that you need seasonal clothing, proper medical and proper dental care, and participation. And participation is the right to be involved in important decision-making about their well-being. Over the age of 12 in the province of Ontario, a child must be invited to attend all important meetings. So that includes their plan of care. Anything that is being done about them, they are invited to be there and really encouraged to be there. And in fact, in most forms, most agencies, anytime a child isn't there, you have to record why they weren't there. Now, we're lucky in that we have something called the Provincial Advocate for Children and Youths Act, which stipulates what the rights of our children are. And of these three, there are 10 inherent rights that kids have when they come into care. As you come into care, they get a book that says, this is your right. And this is how you go about making a rights claim. That's great, it's there, but instead of embracing it and helping kids to see how they got there, how they can get out of, what they can get out of asking for their rights to be met, we seem to take a step back and feel, well, you're here and I'm looking after you and I gave you the brochure, therefore your rights are being upheld. They're very, very different. You can physically give them the book, you can physically give them the phone, but you've got to give them the message and support them and help them to verbalize what are their rights, what are their needs, and what are their wants. To do that, we have to advocate. And advocacy has many meanings, but the one I'm going to use for this is it's described as a process of empowerment, giving power to others. And for children and youth, we can really use it to advocacy as a way of helping them to find the power from within and teaching them to use it. So the advocacy isn't done by us. We are, in fact, setting the way for them to do their own advocacy. The UNCRCC really clearly spells out what advocacy is. And if you look at it, they're pretty basic things. They're things that you would hope every child and youth counselor does, and does because they want to, and they want to make sure kids are getting the best care. But if you look at the last one, it says they are informed about and participate in achieving their rights in an accessible and active manner. I would think we probably know we do a great job of making it accessible, but is it active and do we help them to make it? And if we're laying this foundation and if we're saying from the minute you go into child and youth care, you play a role in helping kids advocate to get their rights met, then will we do a better job of ensuring it's done? My hope would be yes. In Ontario, the Provincial Advocates Act, Office has a great definition of advocacy. Most importantly, they use the African proverb which says, don't speak about us without us. And it means speaking together with youth about youth. And they do an amazing job down there. There is nothing that the office does about youth that youth aren't involved in, to the point that in the fall, they did mock hearings at the provincial legislature, and the youth took over the legislatures for 2 days and brought to the government their concerns about being in care, supported by the office and by the staff. But truly, we want to speak with them, not for them. And I think we've really gotten caught over the years that we know what's right for kids. And I would argue they probably know better. And if we really work with them, they know what they want and we can help them to get it. So why do child and youth care practitioners need to know this? Because we need to protect kids from harm. And as the agents of change, many of the children that come into our system have had a lot of harm done to them. The system hasn't always done good things to the youth. And when I listen to what went on in your project in Scotland, and I know what we've done in Ontario, the youth are really verbal. They're really clear to us about what we've done wrong. But if we can embrace and if we can open and we can work towards preventing more harm, then we're working with them, not for them. So what role would we play as child and youth care practitioners? If, as a foundation, we contribute to the knowledge that youth have about their rights, if we educate them about their rights, if we actively speak every day about rights, if we put rights into our work with them and are working for them to speak, then we will certainly be looking after the vulnerable youth. What we're talking about is giving them a voice. As CYWs, we are the advocates. And as the advocates, we are their voice, and we want to amplify their voice, not make our voice the one that's heard. And we also must know that we need to be informed about what rights are. We not only need to be informed about it, but we need to be comfortable of it. And that's where I think we need to challenge ourselves. We need to look at the status quo. We need to look at how we've helped youth in the past. We need to look at how we've advocated in the past, and we need to move beyond that. We need to help youth be the voice of themselves. What else can we do? Well, we can link youth to resources. When you are actively participating and linking them, you are helping them to meet their rights. And what we do know, I've had the honor for the last 2 months of working with a young man who grew up in the system in Ontario. He was an adoption breakdown, went through multiple foster homes, went through multiple treatment resources. He's now in one of the local community college child and youth work programs. He's probably one of the most insightful and reflective people I've met. And what he's really, really clear about is that the one person that can make it in the life of a youth is that one person who reaches out, who listens to them and works with them, who helps them to find their voice. Most of the time when youth are in community living residences, that is the voice of the child and youth worker. We know it, we've heard it, the studies are there, they've told us that it's that one meaningful adult relationship that will make a difference in the life of a young child. For many of the youth growing up in care, growing up in the system, it is often the child and youth care practitioner who becomes that. What we know in our province is that workers change. Workers change a lot. As you change residences, even if you're lucky enough to stay in a residence, that one person that you had a meaningful relationship changes. These youth have to overcome so many obstacles around those relationships. And what this young man clearly said to me is one bad child and youth worker can undo the work of 100 good child and youth workers. So if we all go into this practice looking at how we can help them to speak for themselves, to give them the voice, then maybe the number of bad experiences they have will go down. Certainly we know there are three things that youth need to be successful in life. They need resources, they need connection, and they need voice. With a strong voice, young people can ask for and make use of the resources and the connections that are out there. Without that voice, they are unheard, they are invisible, and we perpetuate the circle, and we perpetuate the cycle. And I'd just like to leave you with one last thought, and I think that Nelson Mandela said it best when it came to children. Hey, I did it quicker.
Thank you.
Questions, comments? Yeah.
I'm a children's rights officer, and I'm glad to see that they're asking to make everybody's job, because it just should be my job to make sure that young people have the rights. It should be everybody's job to do that.
Absolutely. And what we were looking at is trying, we're actually going to meet with the coordinators of our college system in the fall and making this a foundation course, both at the university and at the college level. And so we've done it that you can do it as a 15-week course, or you can take modules and stick a module into every course that you're doing. So if you're doing mental health, what role would advocacy say when you're doing that? In developmental courses, what role would advocacy and rights play? So it's everyone's role, it really is. And I think the one thing that we've heard today is if we listen to the youth, they know what they want. Your project in Scotland really hit me with that. It was the grassroots. Any other questions, comments?
I could just add that the views that the young people come up with every time they're consulted are consistent. They don't like being moved around in placements.
Right.
They appreciate the caring and sustained relationships with workers, and they value the interest that people take in them for their personality beyond, as it were, their damaged self that took them into the sort of care situation. And it's just not rocket science.
It's not rocket science, and I'm not sure why we haven't, but we had 2 days of it. Every youth said to us, it's that one person. It's that one person that made a distinct difference in my life. It was one person who listened to me. And I think what happens is so often we get into power struggle with youth around what their rights are. You know, I'm going to withhold your visit to your parents, rather than seeing the time with their parents as therapeutic. And they'll tell us that. It's that one relationship. So anything we can do to improve that quality and that level and how we go on their program rather forcing them to go on ours. Thank you.